to worship our God and to honor him. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Amen. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You might say, well, how do I become a member of the church? And really, you know, we have papers back there you fill out, and I'll just get with you. Well, this is one right here. Okay, I forgot I had this. This is one here. And we just ask you, you know, you might say, well, you know, does membership guarantee heaven? No, is the blood of Jesus. Is the blood of Jesus. That's all. But that just helps us to know, you know, when you got married and when you got saved and, you know, just stuff like that. And it helps you to be able to ask me any questions about the church, you know, about, you know, what's happening, what's going on, why you did this or why you did that. And so it's a personal basis. And, but really, honestly, you might say, well, do you have to do that? No, not at all. Not at all. I don't put stock in that 100% at all. I like it, but that's not a guarantee at all. Because really, you might say, well, you know, what if I don't do it and I still come here? Well, I consider you a part of our church. That's what I do. You know, because you see, you know what the scripture says? The scripture says this. It's talking to the church body. It says, know them that labor among you. Do you know it's your responsibility to know me? You might say, oh, Lord, if I know too much, what's going on? I don't know. But you might run. Who knows? No, but what I'm saying is, it's saying that you are to know the people that preach to you. That's why you got to be careful, like on TV and stuff like that, and people you don't know, you got to be careful. I'm not saying some are good, some are bad. I mean, that's the truth. But you are to know me. You are to find out about me. See who I am. Because you see, you want somebody that labors among you that will not run when the fox comes. Will not run when the enemy comes, but will be the shepherd that stands at the door and protects the sheep, no matter what, no matter what. See, so it's your responsibility to know. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, aren't you supposed, and we are to know the sheep. It's my responsibility to go around. You know, what does the Bible say? Feed my sheep. It doesn't say feed programs to them. Or feed them all kinds of junk. You know, you eat a lot of candy, and if that's all you eat all day, what's going to happen to your stomach? You're not going to feel good at the end of the day. Oh, it's going to be good while you're eating it. The pecan pie is going to be good. The Hershey bar is going to be good. Oh, man, look, that ice cold Coke from Sonic, my Lord. There's something about that ice, and it's like, but if that's all you do and that's all you get, you're going to feel sick at the end of the day. You see? And so that's why we need good, sound doctrine. Good, sound teaching from the Word of God, from your pastor, so that you can gain faith in Christ and be able to trust Him like never before and obey Him like never before. Trust and obey. Trust and obey in 2023. That is my goal. You might say, well, Pastor, don't you trust? I do trust my Lord, but I want to trust him more. I do obey my God, but I want to obey him more. And you see, I tell you what, in December, the Lord gave me that word, and I tell you, it just has penetrated my heart by the Spirit of God. And, you know, just letting God move through that, saying, Lord, I submit myself to you. You see, as we get up in the morning, You know, I know we have a lot. Everybody has a lot to do, huh? From going to work to getting the kids ready for school and all that cooking and doing all the chores at the home, all that. But I tell you what, one of the first things you need to do when you get up in the morning, you wake up and you may be just laying in bed still. You might want to say these words, Lord, I trust you with my day. And Lord, I'll obey you in what you want me to do or say or go. Just to kind of, you know, saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, which we're going to be again. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. We need to get to know this scripture. It says, my people know my voice. It says in Timothy that we're to study the word of God and get that deep within our hearts, people. It's the word of God that changes us. Just as David, you know, his son Solomon wrote Proverbs, and Solomon was writing to his son. It says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your path. We need to know the word. We need to trust our God. God can speak a word to you when you're going through something that can change your life. And we've all been there when we have gone through battles of all kinds. I mean, you know, just battles. You know, I was listening to somebody preach this morning. An elderly man just preaching, and I said, man, he's 70, 80 years old, something, I mean, and really preaching the word of God. You might say, well, Pastor, you watch people preach. Yes, I do, because I want to hear the word come forth. Just an elderly statesman, you know, him and his wife just preaching the gospel. You know, he was just talking about just trusting the Lord and just, you know, giving your heart to the Lord. And just, I just said, Lord, I'm blessed to hear this man. You know, and you would think, as he's probably in his 80s, I would think, by now, you would think, well, you know, Lord, he's had a good life. He talked about how he got saved when he was only 5 years old. He said his dad was preaching a sermon. It was, I think, either Sunday morning, Sunday night, I'm not sure. And he said when he gave the altar call, he ran to the altar at 5 years of age, knelt down, started weeping and crying, and giving his heart to the Lord. But you know, and that's an amazing thing, because salvation is the one of the amazing thing. But something else he talked about at the end of his sermon, you think, man, this is a statement. So he has a huge church in Texas somewhere. But he said this. He said, you know, I lost a daughter. I think she was 7 years old. I think that's what I heard. 7 or 12, something. I think he said 7. She was 7 years of age and had an aneurysm or something and died. And he talked about what he went through. But he said, I never lost faith in my God. And as looking at this man, you would think, well, you know, he had a great life. And you wouldn't have thought. But you see, he lost his daughter. And I tell you what, a lot of people lose children. And that's hard. I've never had to go through that. That's hard. But yet, will it destroy your faith in Christ? You see, good. You see, that's the thing that the enemy wants to do, is destroy your faith in God. No matter use every circumstance he can, from marriage problems to children's problems to problems in the government, problems in the churches, problems, whatever it is, he tries to destroy our faith in Christ. And we got to not let that happen at all. That we continue to trust our God more than ever before. And our faith grows in Christ every day. Saying, Father, I don't understand, but I trust you more. Father, I don't understand, but I put my faith in you. Father, I don't understand what's going on, but I know you are in control and you are working things out for my good. Amen. See, our God works together to make things happen for us. He's a mighty God. He's mighty. There's nothing that the enemy can do that can destroy our God or do anything to him. He brought death because Jesus laid down his life. Satan didn't take it. Jesus laid down his life for us because we are precious to him. He loves us more than anything else in this world. And we'll do whatever it takes so we can keep our faith and our trust in him. Trust and obey in 2023. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You might even, you know, you might want to take this scripture and you might want to memorize it. That's good. That's good. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not. And that's a big problem with us. The leaning part. Lean not on your own understanding. Can you imagine Solomon was writing this to his son, saying, son, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust God. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall make your path straight. Straight will be, you know, we don't understand all things that happen to our lives. We don't. Hey, life sometimes is horrible. It's the truth of things that happened, things that come our way, things that hurt us on the inside. It hurts. But I tell you what, we have a God that comes and helps us. There's a scripture, and I'm trying to bring it up in my mind. Colossians 3, verse 3. Bring that up. Colossians 3, 3. Look at this. This is not on my paper, so I'm trying to bring it up. Colossians 3, 3. Look at this. This is what God does for us. Got it? Okay. That's okay. It's going to come up when I'm reading it, probably. Yeah, that's good. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ is in God. Look at that. Let me read it. Oh, hold on. I read it too fast. For ye are dead, okay, talking to, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Look, when you and I got saved, there's something that happened on the inside of us. Christ, look, we gave the keys of our life to Christ. And we said, Christ, you are our God. And he said this, your life is hid in Christ, in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That means he covers you. He protects you. You hide in him. That means this, he is your elder brother. And anything that comes against you has to come against him first. Yes, my Lord. He takes control. You are hid in him. That means that I am a child of the living God, just like you. And Christ, the Holy Spirit, covers me. Covers us. Covers us from destruction. Covers us from death, covers us from sometimes hurt, just covers us and protects us, our spirit and our lives. We are hid in him and no one else. My God. We don't realize how good we got it. We don't realize how good we got it with our God. That we are hid in him because we gave our lives to him, my Lord. And there's no one in hell, there's no one in upon the earth that can snatch us out of the hands of the living God. There isn't any problem. There isn't any disease. There isn't any situation. There isn't anything in this world that can take us out of the hands of God. Because we are in Him. And when we're in Him, He has taken on ownership. You know, you own your vehicles. You own your home. You protect it. When we go to the store, I am not going to park by an old junk vehicle that has 150 dents on it. It's rotting away, rusting away. I'm probably parking way, I'm telling you, far, far where there's no cars, because it costs too much and I want to protect it. That's right. It's like you. Lord, help me. But you try. You try because it costs so much. It costs a lot. You know, that's, you know, you protect your home. You fix things when they break. You keep it up. You keep it looking good, you know. You don't have trash all over the yard. I hope you don't. Nobody's saying amen, huh? Keep it clean. You know, I mean, you keep it clean, looking good. Because you thank God for what you have. You thank God for what you have, and you're trying to protect it. Trust God. Trust and obey in Him. Trust and obey. We live in a troubled world, people. You know, in John 14:1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Don't let your heart be troubled. I know things are not maybe where we'd like it to be for the most part, but I tell you what, we know a God that can sustain and move and do and be. And we trust Him no matter what. Only when we trust God will we desire and be able to obey Him. Only then will we let go of the rope there. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 22, please. Genesis 22. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. And I've been praying for each and every one. You might say, well, do you call out our names? Well, sometimes I do, but sometimes I'll just pray over the paper that I have and call out names and stuff. But I'll pray. I'm praying that God will bring you to a place that you trust Him more than ever before this year. And that you will obey Him more than ever before. I mean, I'm telling you that the power of Almighty God would be evident in your home, in your life, on your job. We need a touch from Almighty God. You know, January is Sanctity of Life Month, where, you know, about abortion and stuff. And thank God, you know, the Supreme Court made their decision. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And they've, you know, abortion is basically not legal in the, on the federal stage so much. Now, state-wise, you know, there's still areas, yes, whatever. But thank you, Lord, that some righteousness has come about. Yes, some righteousness has come about. Too many abortions are happening. One is too much. One is too much. Don't shed, it says in the word, innocent blood. Don't shed that innocent blood. And so we need to keep praying. God is moving. You know, I know sometimes it seems like, you know, evil is so loud, and yes, it is. But I tell you what, God is still moving no matter what. No matter what we see or what we hear, the power of Almighty God is still moving upon the earth, upon generations, upon our government, upon the lives of our churches, and upon our churches. Thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter 22. Look, starting with verse 1, please. It says, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Now, that's an amazing thing. He had prompt obedience. Now, are we going to get back? But you know, Abraham, remember, Isaac was the promised son. Remember, he made a mistake. Did some stuff not right. Him and Sarai tried to bring the promised one. It wasn't him. It wasn't that. They made some mistakes. And God still forgave them and moved upon them. I know in life we all make mistakes. Things happen, people. As a pastor, I always try to be lenient. Bold, but yet lenient. Because sometimes I think churches and pastors are too strict. But sometimes I think sometimes they're too lenient. So I try to have a balance, that pendulum of moving from one to the end. You know, not everything is acceptable in churches. Just because it's brought in churches doesn't mean it's acceptable. I was talking to somebody this week, and they were saying they were having a transition of pastors. You know, and he was just saying, I don't know. He said, I don't know if I like. I said, well, you know, you need to pray for the new pastor. That's all I can tell you, pray. Well, you know, it's hard when you have a, when you, your new pastor comes out and he's wearing a flannel shirt, jeans, white shoes on a Sunday morning. I said, I understand. And you might say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, you know what? We always have to represent our God. News broadcasters and sports broadcasters dress up better than most pastors on a Sunday morning. You think that makes sense? Yes. Yes. They do. But you know what? There's many people that you can go find a tie somewheres. You can find a nice shirt somewheres to wear. Goodwill. Hey. Nothing wrong with that. What I'm saying, and you know, and I'm not trying, you know, hey, Wednesday nights, you know, you can kind of dress down and, you know, but don't, you represent the Lord. You represent Christ as pastors, as pastors. You should represent that pastorship of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That when you stand up in front of people and you giving out the word, that they can respect that word as it, not just because you wear a tie doesn't mean, you know, it's all good and dandy. But what I'm saying is that we need to get to a place where I think there has been a dumbing down of the church body in the word of God and a dumbing down of pastors when they don't even know scripture. It's a sad situation. Sad. Because let me tell you, if pastors really knew scripture and the people knew scripture, every time a false doctrine would come out, in 10 minutes it would be gone. Amen. When you have a church and you have people that tell you, don't bring your Bibles to church, something's wrong. That's not right. Bring your Bibles to church. Because you see, you want to make sure I'm reading the right scriptures. You want to make sure that I'm preaching right. I'm telling you, bring it if you can. I know we have it up there, and that's okay, and or your phone, whatever, you know. You know, whatever, you know. But bring that word. Get that word in you. See, it's the word of God that brings life to God's people. You see, this word here was pinned down by men that were moved on by the unction. That means the Spirit of God and the power of God by the unction of the Holy Ghost. They just didn't write what they wanted to write. They wrote what God wanted them to write. This is a letter from different men given unto us from God Almighty that sits upon the throne of heaven, for us today. And we should not take this lightly. That the word of God is very powerful, as it says. Very powerful. That we need to hunger for that word and get it deep within our hearts. I'm not saying you have to spend hours and hours. But let me tell you, you need to take some time throughout the day to get that word in you. It might be one scripture. Okay, but at least you got that scripture in you. You got it in you. We need the word of God. The word of God becomes alive on the inside of us. It brings life to God's people, the word of God. It's alive and well, and it wants to do mighty things. And thank you. I know all of you strive to know the word of God. And I thank you for your hunger for the word of God. Keep hungering. Keep filling that void of the Spirit of God moving upon your hearts and moving upon your life. See, God is looking for people that are hungry for him and that will do whatever he calls us to do. Trust him and obey him. Look at this. Going back to the scripture. It says this in verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, Isaac and his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And we'll come back to that. Can you imagine? God asked him to do something that was hard. And let me tell you, God is not into human sacrifice either. That was part of idols. So Abraham had to say, my Lord, what are you asking me? To give up the thing that you gave me, the son. Can you imagine their trip? Because it took days to get there. Because it says God will show you the mountain. And he showed him exactly where to go. Can you imagine Abraham thinking in his mind, God, would have you asked of me? But I trust you. You could raise him up if you want to. After he's killed. God, you can do a mighty thing. See, we look at these patriarchs and we see how God mightily used them. But we can also see where they had to give up mightily. Mightily give up. They brought the wood, they brought the fire that he needed and they went to that place. And I often wonder in my heart what Abraham was thinking more about. He had to trust his God and obey him. Not everything that God tells us to do is easy. It's not. But he knows what is best for us. Can you imagine when the son asks Abraham, Father, well, where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? And he just kept saying, God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. Anything we go through, you can say, God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. Finally, they built the altar. The sacrifice altar. Abraham and his son built it because it was just those two now. He left the other men that went with him back down from the mountain. And the son's asking him again, Lord, I see you have the fire, okay, and you have the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And all of a sudden, Abraham takes rope out and starts tying up the hands and the feet of his son. I wonder if tears were coming down his eyes, fighting back what's going to happen, because he said, I'll do it, Lord. And it says after he wrapped his hands and feet and got them ready, he put him on the altar. And he went and he took the knife that he had, and he's about to sacrifice him. We know the story of how God stopped him, the angel, which was God Almighty, the angel, Jesus Christ. And God says, I know you trust me. Stopped him. And in the thicket, it says, there was a ram. And he unloosed his son. And when he got that ram and sacrificed it unto the Lord. See, some things aren't easy. Some things are not easy, huh? But I tell you what, we have to trust him. Yes, amen. He's speaking. Look, you know the voice of God. You know it. You know it. You know that still small voice. Oh, it's like, Lord, thank you. He's there. He's speaking to us. Listen to that still small voice. Listen to the things that God speaks to you. Listen. You might say, well, you know, sometimes I'm not sure. Talk to your spouse. You know, you and your spouse are one, you know. Talk to them and say, hey, what do you think? I really feel the Lord has put this upon my heart. Well, let's pray about it. See, God has made y'all one. He took two people and made them one. And God is wanting y'all to rely on each other as you rely upon him. A marriage that relies upon him. Can you imagine? And I know it's not easy being single. You know, not having that partner, that husband or that wife to go to. But God becomes your husband. He becomes all that you need and all that you want. He gave up. Abraham gave up everything. And look what the promise God told him. Your descendants, Abraham, right after that, shall be like the stars of the skies or the sand of the sea. And we know there's so many of them, my Lord. There's so many. And we are the descendants of Abraham today. Look what God did. In one act of obedience, God changed life for Abraham. God changed the life of Isaac. God changed the life of Christianity in one act of obedience. See, we don't realize how important it is to obey God in the things that he puts upon our hearts. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him no matter what. No matter when things look dark. No matter when things look dim. No matter when things look like it will not change. You get with him and you say, Father, I know what your word says. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God we serve. My Lord, you keep on striving to serve him. You keep on looking to him as you trust him. And God will put things upon your heart and life to do, to say, to be, whatever it is. Because you see, we are agents of the Almighty God. We are agents of him. You know, angels can't spread the word. They can bring messages from God to God's people, you know, and stuff like that. But we are the ones that spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done upon the earth for us. When he gave his life for us, how much he cares for us, how much he loves us. It's us that has to share it so that people will, oh my Lord, some take it, some don't. We know that. Some of us resisted before finally we accepted. But thank God somebody kept on giving it to us and didn't give up. My Lord. If we could see the picture of how much God loves us, it would blow our minds away. And not just his children, but people that don't even know him or can't stand him. He still loves them. He still loves them. We know the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave, my Lord, he gave what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can trust our God. As Abraham trusted God, we can trust our God no matter what. You might be having financial problems. Let me tell you, trust God. Get in his word. Find out what he says about finances. Amen. You can go to the bookstore and you'll find all kind of books from all kind of men and women, and that's their knowledge. But I tell you what, get in that word. And you'll find out what God says. And let me tell you, what God says is true. And it will happen no matter what. Amen. You may have problems, you know, just whatever. Whatever it is with your children, my Lord. Get with God. Find out what God is saying. Lord, show me about my children. My Lord, you might be having problems upon your job. My Lord, get with God. And saying, Lord, show me. Show me. I trust you, Lord. Father, show me what to do, how to do it, and how to pray, Lord. And God will move upon that situation. We're not moved by the standards of the world. We're moved by the standard of his word. And that's all. What does the word say? That's what we live by. That's our standard, no matter what. No matter what. Amen. Trust and obey in 2023. Abraham trusted God. Let's be like him. Let's be like the patriarch of old and trust God. We may not understand it all. That doesn't mean we'll understand. That means we trust with our hearts. And God will bring about the things that we need upon our hearts and upon our lives. Amen. You may stand, please.